Hey, Mosaic, hope you're having a great Sunday. You know what? It's about to get even better because we have Pastor Greg Surratt in the house. He is the founding pastor of Seacoast Church, the church that launched our church, Mosaic. And so I'm so glad that he's there with you this morning. Unfortunately, I will not be there and I'll explain why next week. But hey, for today, can we make some noise? Can we give him some love? Let's do this. Let's put our hands together. Let's do it. Let's do it as he comes on up. Let's do it.
Well, good morning. I want to welcome those of you who are joining us right now online. We're glad that you're along for the ride. I'm not Naeem. Those of you who are new here, I'm not the normal pastor. Of course, he's not normal. How have you know that, those of you? But it is an honor and a privilege for me to be here. My wife, Debbie, Deb, wave just a minute, is here. And she was my girlfriend for a long time, and then she became my wife 41 years ago. I introduced her the other day, said that we'd been married 36 years, and she kind of, and then I remembered it was 41, 36 good ones, but about five that were a little shaky, but it's all right. It's good. Everything's good. Love Naeem and Ashley. You guys love your pastors. I love them. They're like our kids. They really are. I have kids their age, and they're all friends, and they hang around. I've even paid for his meals a lot. And how many of you have ever been to California? Anybody ever been to California? Okay. All right. Yeah. It's not that exciting. Anybody been to California and seen redwood trees, big, tall, the sequoias? Okay. Just a few of us. They're amazing. In fact, they are some of the largest and oldest living things on the planet. Some of the trees there are 24. You can see one up on the screen. People are under. Look at the next one. Here's a car that drives through it. These trees are amazing. 2,400 years old, some of them. They were here when Jesus walked the earth. 300 feet tall, some of them. Some of the largest living things on the planet. I remember going there when I was a kid. And I remember one of them we were looking at, the first limb was 135 feet up. Can you imagine that? And I thought, how in the world do they stay up? They are so tall. And I knew enough about root systems to think they must have a root system that goes clear to China. You know, I mean, it's just got to be really, really, really deep. But as I grew older and studied them a little bit, I found out that it's not so much that way. In fact, they have a very shallow root system. You say, well, how does a tree that big stand up with a shallow root system? Because they grow in groves, and they intertwine and intertangle with each other. In fact, they need each other to survive. Now, I would say that we need each other to survive. In fact, the Bible says this. It says, all of you together are Christ's body. Everybody in here, you're Christ's body together, it says. And each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. In that scripture, there's three key words. The first one is together. We are together. Together, you are Christ's body. Christianity is a team sport, okay? There are no lone rangers. It's not fair, you know, if you say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church, I'm going to drop a flag. That's not right. Because the church, the body of Christ, is called the bride of Christ. And that'd be like going up to somebody and saying, you know, I like you, but your wife's ugly. You know, I don't like your wife. You're going to get, you're going to get some fellowship there, some intense fellowship. Well, the body of Christ, the church, has blemishes. There are some people that are harder to love than others. Don't point. But we are together. It says you're together. The second key word there is you're separate, though. That you are an individual. You don't just blend in. You're an individual. You're gifted in certain ways that are unique from anybody else. There's not a person in here. I took a personality test yesterday, I think. Cost me too much money. One of my friends is doing it, but it asks, 300 questions or something. And You know, how many of you are tempted to lie on personality tests because you want to be like something? But there's nobody in here that's just like me. There's nobody just like you. You are unique. You're a part of it. You're together. You're separate. And you are necessary, he says. Everybody in here is a necessary part of this place today. You say, well, how necessary can I be? I just play a small part, or maybe I'm brand new. I don't play any part. I'm not really all. It was happening before I came. It will happen after I leave. I'm not necessary. Well, that's not true. There are no small, unnecessary parts of the body of Christ. How many of you have ever stubbed a toe, a small toe, little toe on the far end? You didn't even notice the toe, didn't know what it was useful for until it hurts, and then you go, whoa, you know, that's a pretty important part. I have a friend who cut off the end of his thumb, and just a little piece. Now, that's very painful, but 3 years later, he still tells me, I'm discovering things that I needed the end of my thumb for. He said, I can't give a two thumbs up. He said, I can only give one. And but anyway, we need you, and we need you to be you. God never called you to be anybody else but you, but he did call you to be the best you that you can be. And when you're the best you that you can be, and all of the yous come together, recognize that they're necessary, they form the church, the body of Christ. It's an awesome thing when it works like it needs to work. And so this weekend is a great time to connect with others in the church. In fact, there's a brochure you got as you came in, and they'll explain this to you, but it's got all kind of ways to connect. What I want to do, Naeem asked me to preach specifically on this week. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about community and why community is important. I'm going to give you three simple statements about community. Say simple together. Simple. Say this. Simple is not easy. Simple is not easy. How many of you know that? And so I'm going to talk to you about three simple concepts that are not necessarily easy, but if we will incorporate them, then we will experience the incredible thing that is the church and the way it's created to be, okay? So why community matters? Number one, first thing, is that you were created for community. You and I were created for community. In fact, did you know that man is the only one of God's creation that he wasn't satisfied with? Some of the ladies are going, yeah, no brainer. You know, I understand that. No, really, God, when he created the earth, you know, he created animals, and he went, cool. You know, even the aardvark, you know, a little ugly, long nose, but other aardvarks find it attractive, and it all works. They come together and produce little aardvarks, and you got them everywhere, and they eat ants and all that kind of stuff. You know, so why did he create ants? I don't know. We'll ask that later. Why'd he create no-see-ums and mosquitoes and ants? We'll see. But anyway, God said, it's good. It's good. We created fish. Wow. All the different species. They're great. When he created man, my bad. Look at this. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Now, if you know any 20-year-old single males, you understand that, okay? I can remember, before I got married, being a 20-something single male living with like 15 other single males in a duplex, and just, you know, I needed help. I needed help. And here it says, I will make a helper who is just right for him. So God said that it's not good to be alone, that God would make a helper because we're created for community. Community is the antidote to loneliness too. Look at Psalm 68 and verse 5. It says, God is the father to the fatherless, defender of the widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in what? In families. What if you're lonely here? And you're a long way from your family. That's why your spiritual family is so important. So very important. How many of you know that you can feel all alone in a crowd? And some of you feel that way today. You feel all alone in a crowd. God has a solution for you. It's to place you in spiritual families, he says. He sets the prisoners free, and he gives them joy. Even business knows the value of community. We're learning that good ideas don't just come from the top. The good ideas come from everywhere. So the more voices, the better. The more community we have, the better. I was reading a business study just the other day, this is past week, and they were talking about the power of collaboration. And somebody had studied collaboration and said the average return on collaboration is 4 times the initial investment. Average return. You go do it on your own, you're going to get this much return. If you can get collaboration, it's 4 times the initial investment. I'm going to read a scripture in a few minutes that'll say that God knew that years and years and years and years, thousands of years ago. You were created for community. That's the first principle. Second principle is this: you grow best in community. You grow best in community. John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says this. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. You have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, every day of your life. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy your joy, your relationships, your future. He's coming to do all of that. But Jesus said, I have come that they, that's you and I, may have life and have it to the full. Jesus has a quality of life that you long for inside, honestly, that you dream about. Just a quality of life. He said, and I've come to give it so that you would have it to the full. The life that God has for you cannot be learned alone. You grow best in community. You can only make progress in life if you have accurate feedback. Would you agree with that? If you don't have accurate feedback, you'll never make progress. In fact, Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. 2 or 3 years ago, I got the privilege, honor of doing a chapel for the Indianapolis Colts football team. One of their coaches was a good friend of mine, and he'd come to Charleston every summer and bring a group of coaches with him. And they always show up in church, and he grabbed me from behind one day and bear hugged me and said, you know who this is? I said, Clyde, put me down. This is embarrassing. We're in church. And he knows that I am a Denver Bronco fan. Much frustration this year, much frustration. We will get a quarterback, but I'm a Denver Bronco fan. Grew up in Denver. And so, in fact, when we go out from the green room to go onto the platform, we have a symbol of a Bronco there that we put our hands on in order to get the anointing as we go. And so Clyde, I took him in and I showed him that little Bronco. And he said, well, there is a quarterback that used to play for the Colts that at that point played for the Broncos. Anybody know what his name is? Peyton Manning, of course, Peyton Manning. And he said, this will be the first year that Peyton comes back and plays at Indianapolis. It's going to be a Sunday night game. Would you like to come and be a part of that? I said, let me pray about it. Yes! He said, you can stay in my house, and you can do the chapel for the game. I was so psyched up. I'm going to get to meet Peyton Manning and preach to him. It's going to be awesome. Well, he meant the chapel for the Colts, and I didn't know any of them, and I didn't pray that they'd win, but we had a great chapel. But I met Reggie Wayne, and Reggie Wayne was an all-pro year after year after year receiver for the Colts, and he'll soon be in the Hall of Fame. And Clyde told me a story about Reggie. He said, because I asked Clyde, I said, how do you guys get the culture? Because culture is so important. Culture is as important as vision, whether that's in a family or in a business or in a sports team or in a church. And so I asked him all about the culture. How'd you get the culture of the Colts? And, you know, they'd won for a long, long time, even just incredible culture. And so Tony Dungy had kind of created some stuff there. And I said, how do you get the, what's culture like? And he said, well, one of the pieces of the culture is that you have to crave coaching because you will never make improvement without accurate feedback. And he said, let me explain. He said, Reggie Wayne, who's all pro, we always have a training camp at the beginning of the year where all the rookies come in and all the veterans come in, all the all pros, if we have any of those. And, you know, it's kind of a, for a lot of veterans, it's kind of a time to kind of cruise until the season starts. But he said, Reggie is different. Reggie always comes to us and says this, do not coach me like an all pro. Coach me like a rookie. Coach me like a rookie. What's he saying? He's saying, you know what? I can't grow without good coaching in my life. I can't become all that I was created to become without accurate feedback. And so you grow best in community. How many of you have at least one thing that you'd like to change about yourself this year? Just raise your hand. How many of you? Okay. For those of you who have your hands down, why don't, if there's somebody around you, just turn to them and tell them where that you think they should change. Okay? You do that? If you have a spouse, they're very, very accurate at those things. Well, you've got to have support if you're going to change. I have things about myself that I want to change. One of the things I want to change is I got to lose some weight. Every year I gain about 2 pounds. Anybody else in my category? I mean, especially when you get to be my age, it just, you know, I gain about 2 pounds. And over time, it's some interesting tonnage that begins to show up. And so I always want to lose weight at the beginning of the year. And I've tried joining gyms before, you know. And it just hasn't done it. I don't know if I'm motivated or not. But, you know, the kind of gym where I always go to where you, you know, you put your headphones on and you got your music and you go in and you ride a bike and you maybe do a little lifting or whatever. But it's just you. You're kind of on a solo journey. I need more than that. And this year, a buddy of mine invited me to join the gym that he was a part of. And I said, I've tried that before. He said, oh, come on, it's different. And it's a CrossFit gym. And it's also kind of a, I think they call it Iron Tribe. And it's got tribes. It's all about community. And you got teams and all this kind of stuff. And so I thought, I'm going to go and it's going to be awesome. It's horrible. Okay? Debbie will tell you, I came home the first day. I thought I was going to die. So I went back the second time, and it was worse. Where whatever I did the first day hurt before I went in, and then I added some hurts to it on the second day. So I asked one of the guys, I said, because my son goes there, and he said, I said, do you like working out? He said, it's the highlight of my day. I said, well, when does that happen? You know, because I just want to quit. I just want to quit. In fact, I came home from a workout one day, and I'm driving home. I said, that's it. I'm quitting. I'm not doing this. And then I thought, no, what's the goal? The goal is improvement. You've tried before on your own. Now you're in an environment where they give you feedback and help and all of that. Give it 90 days. And so I decided I'm committing for 90 days because the truth is what I was doing before wasn't working. And I think I need the support of a team to change. So here's another question. How many of you, up on the top, downstairs, how many of you on the internet watching, how many of you would like to grow in your faith this year? Just raise your hand. You'd like to be at the end of the year in a different place than you are right now, okay? Okay. Can I just say this? You'll never get there on your own. You won't. You will not get there on your own. I want to challenge you to join a spiritual gym, and there are several of them right here in the brochure. Give it 90 days. You say, well, I've been in small groups before, and it just didn't work for me. Debbie and I are in a small group right now, and I was telling her the other day, I hate our small group. Did I say that or not? I did. I'm not the leader of our small group. I hate our small group. I like everybody in it. I love the leader, but I hate what we're doing right now. We're studying a book, and it's miserable. I don't like studying a book. I just want to get to know people and get inside of people. But you know what? I'm committed to it. I'm committed to it, and it'll get better because I'm going to talk to the leader about it. And I'm at the top of the food chain, so I can say whatever I want to. You know what I'm saying? But I want to challenge you. Join a spiritual gym. You need a team Christianity is a team sport. No lone rangers, okay? And give it 90 days. Just say, I'm going to give it 90 days. And community matters because you were created for it, because you grow best in community. Let me give you one more. Simple statement, but not easy. You gain strength in community. You gain strength in community. Now, there was a storm here. Somebody say snowageddon or apocalypse or... Did you guys have some snow? Yeah. You know what? Here's the truth. You're going to face more storms this year. Hopefully it won't be big snowstorms, but you'll probably have one or two. But I hate to tell you this, but you're going to face some relational storms this year. I've never had a year that I went 365 days without at least one relational storm, and I'll bet you won't either. You're going to maybe face financial storms this year. You might face a physical storm. God wants you supported and cared for. That's his will for you. David, in the Old Testament, I love him. He faced his share of storms. And in Psalm 61, verse 1, he talks about kind of one of them and how God dealt with him. And it's kind of a principle. He's crying out to God. He says, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. He's saying, God, there's some stuff going on right now that's bigger than me. I need you desperately. Would you lead me to, I need you. Lead me to that place that's higher than I. For you have been my refuge in the past, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. He said, I need a, in the vernacular of today, I need a safe space, okay? I need somewhere where it feels safe in the shadow of your wings. Then look where it is. Look where it is. For you, God, have heard my vows. And here's what you did. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the church of his time. I know the church was created after Jesus rose from the dead, but the community, he's talking about community. He's talking about a heritage of people of faith. He always had a Jonathan or during difficult times, or one of the mighty men that he'd look around and God had placed people in his life, the heritage of faith. God does the same for you because you weren't created to go through storms alone. We had our own snowstorm in Charleston a few weeks ago. Anybody read about that or hear about that? You know, in Charleston, it never snows. I've been there 31 years, and we've had three snowstorms. That were of any consequence. So they started predicting, there's going to be a storm. It's going to snow. And you know, you go online, I have my little iPhone, and you look at the 10-day report, and you see a little snowflake, you know. And I laugh at it, because I think the people in Charleston are snowflakes, okay? I'm from Denver, Colorado. It snows there. I spent 8.5 years in purgatory in northern Illinois. It snows there, okay? It snows there. It doesn't snow in Charleston. So finally, the night before the big snowstorm, they said, we're liable to get an inch to an inch and a half. And I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. So the next morning, it starts to snow. And what did I do, Deb? I got out in the snow, didn't I? I got in my car. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm just going to go experience this. Because everybody on the television was going, oh, don't go out. You'll die. This is awful. You know, inch and a half of snow. So I got out, and it started to snow. And what I didn't realize is that we're not prepared for the storms, okay? We're not prepared. You are more prepared than we are. Colorado, Illinois, everybody has snow plows, all this. We don't have any. People were scraping. We got 7 inches of snow. People were scraping their driveways with card tables, okay? I had to get the snow off of my wife's car after 3 days because it stayed. It never got warmer than 33, 34 degrees. And so it would just melt a little so it'd be ice at night, you know. And so I used a canoe paddle to scrape the snow off of Debbie's car because we were not prepared for it. Here's something I noticed, though. I noticed that trees you know, that were sagging from the ice and the weight and all of that. If they were in groves, it was kind of like those redwood trees, only it wasn't roots then. It was other trees that helped to hold up the limbs. You know, the limb would come down and hit another limb and it wouldn't break. But when you had a tree all by itself, boom, it would snap because it couldn't hold up under the load. See, you weren't created to go through storms alone. And the closer we stand in community, the more we'll be able to hold up when storms come. Here's that scripture I was referring to earlier, Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. They're studying it these days and they're saying as much as four times better return in collaboration. The Bible said that years ago. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity one who falls and has no one to help him. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is even better because it's not quickly broken. He's saying if there are two or three people there, there's power in that. Who else said that? Jesus said, where any two or three gather in my name, I am there in the midst. That's called community. That's a small group. We need each other. We need each other. Why is Naeem not here today? Let me tell you. Naeem called me on Monday, and I could tell that he was off, and he was having a hard time collecting his thoughts. I said, what's up? And he said, you know Atia, right, my sister? And sure I do. Mahmoud was Naeem's older brother and came over from Kuwait. A lot of you know the story. Naeem wrote a great book on it. And then Naeem came over, and they committed their lives to Christ, and then each one of their siblings came over. Obia came over and committed her life to Christ, and Atia, and then Ali. And I had the privilege of baptizing all of them in our church in Charleston. And he said, you know Atia? I said, yes, I know Atia. She said, her husband died today on Monday. And Ernest, I knew Ernest, and a young guy in his 40s, and apparently had a heart attack. And Atia she and Ernest together had a 7-year-old and just a 6-month-old baby. And Naeem said, I just wanted to tell you, I said, what can I do? Can I come up there right now? He's on his way to Columbia, where they lived. He said, I'll call you tonight or tomorrow and let you know what you need. So he called me in the morning, and he said, can you come preach for me? He said, we're going to be here doing this and talk about community. And I said, sure. I said, what else can we do? He said, can you be a part of the funeral, which was yesterday? I said, sure. He said, could you talk to Atia? And so he puts her on the phone. Now, when someone has gone through incredible loss, how many of you know that it's hard to have the right words to say? Sometimes you just want to stay away. That's the wrong thing to do. I'm a preacher. I'm paid to have the right things to say. And I told Atia, I have no words. I have no words. All I would say is that if Debbie and I were there with you right now, we would just hug you and cry with you because of the loss. Yeah. I said, Atia, tell me a little bit about how you're feeling right now, what's going on. She talked about the fact that she was heartbroken, two children, and daddy's gone. But she said this in that phone call. She said, I couldn't have made it without my church. She said, you know, I was at work and he was at home. And she said, by the time I got home, she said, it seemed like half of our church was there. And she said our small group has been, even in the couple of days since, has just been a lifesaver. You know, her physical family were important and are important, but her spiritual family was there when her physical family was not, because they live in other towns. I would say your physical family is hugely important, but equally or more important is the spiritual family around you that help you to go through a storm, because you don't know when a storm is coming. Many of you moved here. How have you moved to Charlotte from somewhere else? Okay? So you got family in Ohio and New Jersey and wherever. See, you need to prepare for the storm in advance. This is a great weekend to do that. So let me just review. You were created for community. You grow best in the context of community. And you gain strength for the storms of life through community. So, here's the question. Are you in community? Are you? or are you just kind of going it alone right now? See, you need community. Are you taking advantage of this incredible gift that God has given? See, some of us need to acknowledge today that life isn't working alone. It's like me going to the gym. The reason I go is because what I've been doing isn't working. Got to do something different. And maybe you're there and you'd say, you know what? Life isn't working that well right now. And I'm going to make a commitment today to come into community. Some of you are frustrated with your progress spiritually or physically or relationally or financially. You need to join a team. And some of you are going through a storm right now that God never designed you to go through. My friend Juan, I call him my friend. I never see him outside of his restaurant. He and his wife own a restaurant called Carmeny Juan's. It's a great seafood or Mexican food restaurant. His wife's name is Carmen. She cooks the food in the back. And Juan, he's out front, and his family. And we go there once or twice a week. That's something I've got to change this year. But Juan lost his son last week. Sergio, 15 years old, a star athlete, just a prodigy at soccer. Went out for football this year. The coach asked him. The coach was the coach at Davidson Day School here. Won 4 state championships in a row. Came down to a school there in Mount Pleasant and asked Sergio to come out. And he said he's never seen a kicker like him in his life, ever. And he's coached a lot of people. Sergio died 15 years old. We don't know. A heart thing, probably. We were in Juan's restaurant just a couple of nights ago, just talking to him about it and just the pain that they're going through. And you know what? At Seacoast, we have a group for grief. Juan doesn't go to our church. He doesn't have to. But when we go back, I'm giving him a book and a flyer, and I'm going to invite him into a community to share his pain, he and his wife. There are groups like that here. You know, I just challenge you. You need a group who will share your pain. Take the time to build community and find your people. Get to know your people because it has benefits that last a lifetime. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this wonderful group of people who gathered today. Some of them coming really at the beginning of the year to just start something new and say yay God to that. But God, today we ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done as we respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could you stand together with me? What we're going to do is we're going to have a time of response. We're not done. This is the best part of the service. I want to challenge you with 2 questions. What's God saying to you, and how are you going to respond to him? Let me give you some suggestions. For some of us, we feel distant from God. Maybe we've never really come into relationship with God, or maybe our relationship is more distant than it's been at some point in the past. I want to challenge you to come into community with God through Jesus Christ. Come into community with the church. The far side over here, we've got a cross. And there'll be people moving around. And just go to the cross, take a little piece of paper and put it on the cross. Maybe your initials are on it and say, I need community with God today. Others of us may have prayer needs that we came in with, and maybe you want to go to the cross and take what's burdening you and just leave it there. Just write something on the cross and say, you know what? I'm going to leave it here, and I receive your peace. Others of us are going to go to the candles and pray for a friend, and we might pray something like, may the light of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit be in their life. We're going to receive communion together, which is a symbol of the community that we have. We're going to give our offering boxes. We're going to stand and sing and celebrate an awesome God who loves us. But what's God saying to you, and how do you need to respond to him? Let's respond together.